The cliff building held its secrets tenaciously, empty and silent, revealing nothing, except that its very existence told us so much. "What do we know?" Jamie asked himself for the thousandth time that week. "We know that Mars bears life, lichen in some surface rocks and bacteria deep underground. We know that once intelligent Martians lived here and they built the structure in the cliff. We know that they no longer exist. We're pretty certain that they were wiped out by one or more meteor strikes about 65 million years ago. And that's it. They had developed writing. Maybe they even understood what was happening to them. But we haven't been able to find another building anywhere on the whole planet. We don't understand their writing, and probably never will. So why are we going through the motions of searching the planet and poking around the niche where the building is sited? We don't have the tools or the manpower to find anything more. We don't have the fundamental understanding to figure who or what they were. They could have honeycombed this planet with their cities and farms, but after 65 million years, they're all lost, gone, covered over by dust or ground into dust themselves. Jamie admitted to himself, "We're wasting our time here. Even the VR shows we beam to Earth have lost their appeal. The audience is down to schools and museums. We might as well pack up and go home." Then he saw Trumbull and his hotel builders and the tourists he wanted to bring to Mars. Bulldozers and buses and shopping malls where you could buy plastic Martian dolls. Grimly, he turned to his laptop and booted it up, ready to review the day's schedule of tasks. Instead, Pete Connors's chocolate brown face looked out at him from the display screen, grinning cheerily. "Congratulations. Today marks the 365th day since your arrival on Mars. You've put in a full year on the planet's surface. A real milestone, guys." Jamie blinked at Connors's image. "It's only Sol 358, he saw from the data line at the bottom of the screen. Then, despite his listless mood, he smiled tightly. "Of course," he told himself. 365 Earth days, not Martian. A full Earth year. He didn't feel like celebrating. In the main dome, Vijay was also thinking about the calendar.
"It's a real accomplishment," she said to Stacy, "and we ought to do something to celebrate it."
The two women were in Vijay's phone booth-sized infirmary. Dezhurova was stripped to her bra and panties, a blood pressure cuff wrapped around her left arm, 6 medical sensor patches plastered to her sturdy chest and back.
"What do you have in mind?" she asked warily.
As a cosmonaut, she distrusted medics, especially doctors who doubled as psychiatrists. It was their job to find reasons to keep flyers on the ground, Dezhurova feared.
"I'm not sure," Vijay replied, seemingly unaware of her patient's latent hostility. "With the group split up like it is between the two domes, it's difficult to bring everyone together for a blast."
"No alcohol," Dezhurova said flatly.
"I didn't mean a booze party," Vijay quickly amended, one eye on the monitor screens.
Dezhurova seemed adequately healthy, blood pressure a bit lower than usual, but well within tolerable limits.
"Then what?"
Vijay shrugged and started unwrapping the cuff from the cosmonaut's beefy upper arm. Dezhurova began peeling off the sensors with her free hand.
"We need something," Vijay said. "Morale is sinking quite low. It's been nothing but work, work, work the past several months. No excitement at all. That's not good for our emotional outlook."
"Trudy and Tom seem happy," Dezhurova said as she got down from the examination table and reached for her coveralls.
"When they're together, yes," Vijay agreed. "But he tends to mope when they're apart."
Stacy shook her head.
"I can't adjust the work schedule to accommodate their romance."
"No, of course not. And frankly, I think Trudy is grateful for some time away from Tommy."
"You think she does not love Tom?"
"Love's got very little to do with it. Love's got very little to do with it," Vijay said, her face growing quite serious. "Tommy might be bonkers over her, but she..."
Vijay's voice trailed off. "Yes, what?"
"I'm not sure," Vijay said, looking troubled. "Trudy likes Tom, of course. Very much. But I don't think you could call it love. Not for either one of them.
Is that your professional opinion? Dezhurova asked, sealing the coverall's Velcro seam.
Not quite.
Stacy tapped Vijay on the shoulder with a heavy, blunt finger.
Is this what you psychologists call projection?
Projection?
You can't make a commitment to Jamie, so you believe Trudy has the same problem.
I can't, Mike. Vijay's dark eyes flashed wide. Then she looked away from Dezhurova. With a grim smile, Stacy said,
Dex and Jamie are both in the second dome. I think it's good to keep you away from them.
No party. And with that, she walked out of the infirmary. Instead of a party, Dezhurova linked all eight of the explorers electronically at dinner. She planted a picture phone unit at one end of the galley table in Dome 1 and ordered Jamie to do the same at Dome 2.
We mark this milestone with unity and comradeship, she said, sitting at the head of her table and lifting a glass of grapefruit juice.
Unity and comradeship, Jamie repeated from the head of his table. But as he glanced at the three others with him, Jamie knew that the toast was empty. Fuchida suspected that one of the comrades was an insane saboteur. Rodriguez was gloomy because he wanted to be with Trudy, and he knew that when he shuttled back to Dome 1, Trudy would be coming here to Dome 2. Tomas probably thinks Stacy is keeping them apart on purpose. Looking at Dex, Jamie thought that he had changed a good deal over the past year, especially since we found the building, he told himself. But he's torn up inside over his father. And deep down, where it counts, he still wants to turn Mars into a profit-making venture. Unity and comradeship, Jamie repeated silently. Not likely. After dinner, Jamie went to the comm center, more to get away from the others than anything else. But it was not to be. Jamie had barely started reviewing the task assignments for the next day when Fuchida stepped in and wordlessly pulled up the second chair. What is it, Mitsuo? He asked, dreading the answer. Fuchida pulled a mini-disc out of the chest pocket of his coveralls.
I believe I know who our saboteur is, he said, nearly whispering.
Despite himself, Jamie asked, who? Fuchida proffered the disc.
Take a look at this.
Sliding it into the computer port, Jamie asked, what is it?
I correlated every so-called accident with the job assignments of each one of us, the biologist said.
Jamie saw a bewildering chart on the computer display. Eight jagged lines in eight different colors marched across a gridwork background. It looks like the Alps, Jamie grumbled. Hunching closer, Fuchida traced the light blue line across the graph.
Each line represents one of us. This one is me.
His finger moved to the red line.
That is you.
And the axes?
Abscissa plots time. Ordinate plots the position of each individual. See? Here you are on the first excursion to the canyon with Dex, Trudy, and Stacy.
Jamie nodded. Okay.
Now.
Fuchida leaned across and tapped the keyboard. Red arrows began flashing at half a dozen points along the bottom of the graph.
The arrows represent times when accidents occurred. This one, for example, he touched the screen, is when the garden dome was punctured.
Okay, Jamie repeated. Another few taps on the keyboard, then Fuchida said,
Here all the unnecessary clutter is removed.
Jamie saw that most of the lines had disappeared from the graph. But the red arrows still flashed accusingly.
Notice that only one individual was present at the time and place of each separate accident.
The yellow line, Jamie said.
Exactly.
And who does that represent?
Stacy. Stacy.
Jamie felt as if the wind had been knocked out of him.
You're saying Stacy is the saboteur?
Gesturing to the screen, Fuchida said,
The facts show it.
Jamie said nothing, but his mind was racing. It can't be Stacy. Mitsuo's got to be wrong. He's just throwing together some half-assed statistics. Fuchida interrupted his train of thought.
Stacy was alone in the comm center when the garden dome was punctured. The rest of us were in our quarters, remember?
Yes, but she was alone in the rover when the wheel bearing burned out. She wasn't anywhere near the kiln when Tomas burned his hand.
true, but she had